I had the privilege to teach a couple of Wednesdays on Acts chapter 6, 7, and now today, well, I just figured let's just continue on 8. This takes place in the early church. We see that the church was still in Jerusalem, and there was widows that were being neglected, and so this complaint was brought to say, hey, these widows are being overlooked, and by the Hellenists, they were bringing this complaint. And so the apostle said, well, bring from among you seven men full of seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, and we'll assign them to take care of these needs. And among them was Stephen. And we read that in chapter, I think, 6, where the list of these men that were chosen were brought up. And these men were men that were going to oversee the distribution of the food for the widows and all that. Well, Stephen, full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit, the leaders were upset, and a charge came against him. He was accused of blasphemy against the temple, against the law. And in chapter 7, he gives us one of the longest addresses that he is actually correcting the religious leaders, the high priest and the religious leaders, taking them back to the history of Israel, how the prophets had been rejected. Moses, who was telling us about the one who would come, and so many of the prophets had been rejected, and Stephen tells him, just like you rejected the prophets and Moses, you have rejected Jesus, the Son of God. And the religious leaders at this, they just stop their ears, and they're gnashing their teeth, and they drag him out to stone him. And I described a little bit of that last time when I was here with you, just the process of the stoning, how they dropped boulders on him, you know, and all this, a man who just shared the gospel with them, shared the truth. And we see that, we saw this, that as Stephen was sharing all this, and they were even, you know, dropping the stones on him, he was still even praying for them. And he described, I see the Lord Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. And he was praying for them, Lord, do not count this against them, as they were killing him. And then he was the first martyr. And right there, as he had been giving his address, right there stood, was the birth of Paul, because Paul, here known as Saul, was standing there in the midst, watching all this happening, and he was gladly approving of his death. He said, go ahead. And so this is where we pick up Acts chapter 8. And so maybe I'll just read through it, and then we'll come back and review some of the highlights, some of the things that we're going to see in this, okay? But in this today's chapter, we're gonna be introduced to four individuals. I want to bring that up. We're going to be introduced to Saul. We're going to be introduced to Philip. We're going to be introduced to Simon. And an Ethiopian eunuch. Four people of faith. But faith in what? Faith in who? This is what we're going to learn. So again, let's just open our hearts to God's word. So I'm going to read it through. It says, chapter 8, now Saul was consenting to his death, meaning Stephen. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. Verse 3, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Verse 13. Then Simon himself also believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Verse 16. For as yet he had not fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, that anyone whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity." Verse 24. Then Simon answered and said, "Pray to the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken may come upon me." So when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many villages of Samaria, of the Samaritans. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise, and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." Verse 27. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before his shear is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." Verse 34. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And so he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized them. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Let's go back to verse 1. It says, "Now Saul was consenting to his death." Stephen's death. Have you ever reflected on some of the things that you were so sure of and that God corrected me on? Like when we were young and we thought that we knew better than our parents. Like when we thought that one thing would make us happy, whether it was, I don't know, a relationship, a position, a job, more money. How about when we thought that our entrance to heaven would be granted on the basis of our good works outweighing our bad works? Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." Proverbs 14:12. To be so sure about something only to find out later you completely missed it. You were wrong. Can you guys believe that once I thought that if I only divorced my wife, I would be happier? I'm so relieved and grateful that the Lord rescued me from that mindset and saved our marriage. I would have missed out on so much. So many times we are sure of something, but is it according to God's word? You know, you could be sincere. There's a lot of people that are sincere. The Jehovah's Witnesses they might be sincere and they're knocking at the door, but if they deny Jesus, they have no part in this kingdom. You can be sincere, but sincerely wrong, as the Apostle Paul was. He was religious. He did everything. He learned the scriptures as a young boy. But he was missing the most important thing of all. He was missing the person of Jesus Christ. Verse 1 says, "And at that time a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles." So now the church was forced to do what they had been reluctant to do in the first place, which is to go, you know, through all Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. That's what Jesus had told them to do in Acts 1:8. Go, preach the gospel, take it everywhere. But they were comfortable. They were comfortable in church. You know, this is where all my friends are, my neighbors are. This is where everything's happening. We're happy here. Sometimes we have to be shaken out of our comfortable state before we do what God wants us to do. What was it that led Moses out of Egypt? You know, when he came up to those two men and he was trying to settle a dispute and who made you judge over us? Are you going to kill us like you killed that guy yesterday? And he fled. You know, and the Lord was used that to prepare him and to bring him back as a deliverer. So verse 3 says, "As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison." After his conversion, Paul testifies to King Agrippa in Acts 26:11. In his own testimony, Paul says, "And I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities." But Paul, me like Paul and probably many of you, have some regrets of those things that we did prior to walking with the Lord Jesus. You know, I think Paul was also at night. Like, can you imagine that day when he was on the road to Damascus and the Lord, you know, reveals himself to him? And he tells him, "Go to this place, and now I'll show you what you're going to do now, next." And those 3 days of blindness, just thinking back, what have I done? And the people that I dragged into prison, the people that I was persecuting for Jesus, because they were followers of Jesus, because they were followers of the way. And I was attacking them. I was wrong. How many people are still in prison that I put in prison? I wonder if that went through Paul's mind. Hmm. 1 Corinthians 15:9, Paul says, "For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, I am what I am." I think we can all echo that. That if it wasn't for the grace of God, there we go. Verse 4. "Therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Because of the persecution, these people, who were not apostles, mind you, they were not teachers. They were just people like me and you. They fled the persecution out of Jerusalem, moved to other regions, and as they moved into new neighborhoods, they would share their stories of how they came to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And through their testimony, others believed. The word for scatter, where it says that they were scattered, it's like that of a seed being spread. You know, and the gospel went that way. That's the people just moved to other new regions and they were just sharing with their neighbors. You know, we fled Jerusalem because we now believe in Jesus. We were there. We heard the testimony that we were there with the apostles who were witnesses of his resurrection. We were there and we saw lives transformed and we accepted the gospel and we see now our lives being transformed. And the people saw the light of them. They saw the difference in their lives. And the gospel was spreading now that they were moving from that region, from Jerusalem. And verse 8 says, and there was great joy in that city. That great joy is a sign of revival. When we begin to understand what God did for us by sending His only begotten Son to die on the cross, to take our place, when we realize, you know, I told people that you don't really appreciate the antidote to something, the medicine, until you realize how sick you are. Do you realize what kind of sickness, how serious my sickness is? I won't appreciate what the medicine to heal me or the process or the operation or whatever it's needed. When we realize that apart from Christ, I have no righteousness. My righteousness is like filthy rags. I need the Lord. I need His righteousness to clothe me, to wash me. And only in His righteousness can I approach the Lord God and I can enter in. And I have this communion with the Father. It's not based on anything that I've done. And I appreciate Jesus. Then I appreciate what He has done. And it's everything. It makes a world of a difference. And so this results in thanksgiving and joy and a desire to share the good news with others. When we realize, and this is why the gospel is so important for us, because we have this tendency to forget. We have this tendency to be distracted. And we become forgetful of what the Lord has done to purchase us to Himself and the freedom that He has offered us. Verse 9 through 10. It says, but there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. What was it that got Lucifer kicked out of heaven in the first place? Wasn't it pride? This desire to be like God? Simon was being used as a puppet of the devil to amaze people. And if you know, I tell people who ask me about, you know, what do you think about Mars? You think there's aliens? You think this? No, I tell them, you know, the enemy knows whatever attracts you, whatever you're interested in, if this will keep you from Jesus, then he'll give you more of that. And if sorcery and science is what attracts you, then the enemy will give you that as long as you are distracted from Jesus. That's what the enemy wants. Keep you busy with something else. Give you a carrot to follow. Whatever it is. What it is. You want a better job? I'll give you a better job. Sure. You want a better relationship? Oh, I have someone for you. Anything to keep you distracted from Jesus. Is it money? Is it power? Is it position? Anything to keep you from knowing the Lord. And this is the people were being entertained and lured by Simon. And Simon was having it all, enjoying all the attention and the power. Verse 11 through 12. And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. The signs and wonders, they only entertain you for a little bit. But eventually, leave you empty. You come out empty. The good news of the gospel is refreshing. It was refreshing to the people. And they received it and were baptized. Verse 13, then Simon himself also believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and the signs which were done. We see Simon now saying that he believed, but was he was even going through the motions, getting baptized and everything, but he had selfish motives in mind. He wanted to learn how to do these miracles and signs to earn money, to gain popularity, power, prestige. Simon believed, but remember where the scripture also says that the demons believe and they tremble? That's in James 2, verse 19. It says, you believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe. They tremble. So this is Simon was saying, yeah, I believe. I'll go through whatever needs to be done. But he had another intention. He had other selfish motives, self-seeking in his heart. Verse 14 to Acts 8, verse 14 to 17. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down, prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. We know that the point that we commit our lives to the Lord in sincere faith, and we put our trust in Jesus, we receive the Holy Spirit. But there is something else called to be empowered, to be indwelled by the Holy Spirit. And we all need that continually, to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And in 1 Corinthians 12, 7 to 10, it tells us what it looks like, or the evidence of that in someone. I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 to 10. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. So these are ways that the Holy Spirit, someone is empowered by the Holy Spirit. You see this evident in their lives. This is why we need the gifts to edify one another, all for the edification of one another and for the glory of God. And so this is what Simon was after. Verse 18 and 24, and when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Your heart is not right in the sight of God. Peter could, the Holy Spirit just used Peter to correct this man, Simon. And he says, repent therefore of this wickedness and pray, God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you, for I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. Then Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me that none of these things which you have spoken may come upon me. What things? To be perished with his money because of his selfish desire. He wanted to buy the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. Can you believe that? The insult to the Holy Spirit? Thinking that it's some kind of power or force that we can buy and use it for our selfish gain. Simon, he was coming to the gatherings. He was singing the songs. He was doing the whole thing. But his heart was not right. Oh, may the Lord this Teach us to guard our hearts from pride and selfish desires, so that our desire will be to glorify the Lord and not ourselves. Pastor Pete has always told us, just because a mouse is in a cookie jar doesn't make it a cookie. It's a simple, way of putting it, and a humorous way of putting it, that yes, Simon was going through the motions. He was going to church, but his intentions were revealed later. And the Apostle Peter called him to repentance. Verse 25 to 26. So when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south, along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." This is desert. I thank the Lord for Pastor Pete, because he left the beauty of San Diego to come to the desert and bring us the gospel. I mean, this is what I think of when I read this. Philip, he was where everything was happening. Everything was going on. The revival was happening. People were just accepting the Lord left and right, and it was a joyous time, a joyous place. And an angel tells Philip, "I want you to leave this place and go to a remote area. I have an assignment for you." "But are you sure you don't want me?" No, he didn't even argue. I would have been asking, "Wait a minute, but what can be better than this? Look, the people need the word here, and they need someone to point them in the right direction." I mean, but here the angel says, "No, I got something better. I got an assignment for you." When there's times that I'm asked to lead worship in Mexico or somewhere, and it's beautiful because you might, I go and visit the Yees, their missionaries in Ensenada, and we go to these rehab places where they don't have big speakers, and they don't have the earpiece and the whole things. It's just guitar, and you're in a room, and it's hot, and you're just singing, and the people are worshiping, and they're just full of joy because they are receiving the gospel, and they just want to worship the Lord. And it's not about. And so, but what I'm thinking of is that how many people actually hear the call and say, I want to go where someone needs to hear the gospel or to be led in worship or whatever it might be, regardless of who's there, whether it's 20, whether it's 100, or whether there's just 5 people in the room, are we willing to go for that person? And Philip, he said, "I'll go." And so, verse 27 to 29 says, "So he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet." Verse 29, "Then the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go near and overtake this chariot.' So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, 'Do you understand what you are reading?' So this Ethiopian eunuch in charge of the treasury of the queen of Ethiopia, he is searching the scriptures for the Lord. He wants to know the Lord God, and he's tired of the religiosity, and he goes and buys a scroll. And it wasn't like today that we can go to Walmart and buy Bibles. This was a big deal. He had this scroll of the book of Isaiah, and he's trying to understand it. And the Lord says, "Go near him. I want to use him. I want to use you to share with him." That's that one person. I was telling you before, I went to this worship conference, and Tammy, who's her and Peter are the missionaries in Ensenada, she was leading worship, and this huge band with I mean, they had everything, the sound, and it was, they just sounded like recording quality. And afterwards, this was a worship leaders conference, so they interviewed, you know, some of the worship leaders and asked them, what is that, you know, to pass on some of the things that they've learned, you know, and some of that wisdom to some of the young worship leaders. And Tammy said, you know, I love doing this. I love the you know, being in that group, you know, so talented and be able to sing here, but I wouldn't trade it for a world. I wouldn't trade it for what I'm doing now, you know, being singing in a place where it's just either singing just to the women there in the rehab home without all the fancy stuff, just the guitar and her, you know, and leading people to worship. And this is, whether it's in jail, whether it's wherever, you know, the Lord sends you to consider that person that needs to hear the gospel, that person that needs also to be edified and comforted with the word of God, whoever it is. It's not a multitude. And here, Philip is being sent to this man who is seeking the Lord. And I love this because the Ethiopian eunuch is seeking God through his word, and God honors that. As this man drew near to God, God was drawing near to him by sending Philip to teach him, to help him understand what he was reading. And so verse 31, 35, he said, how can I, speaking, when Philip asked him, do you understand what you are reading? He said, how can I, unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shear is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? Speaking of the Lord Jesus, for his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. So the Ethiopian was reading from Isaiah 53, a prophecy about the Messiah, written hundreds and hundreds of years before even crucifixion was invented by the Romans. This is a good use of apologetics. This is an example of apologetics. When you're going to be teaching someone, you can use the prophet. You can use prophecy as something that makes a difference to every other book. This is what the Bible has that no other book has, and we can show people that the Messiah was prophesied about, and what he did, and how he would die, and where he was going to be born, and all these things. This is what makes a world of a difference. I remember one time I was on the plane, I was sitting next to a Muslim, and I could tell just he had his Quran. I had my Bible, and I remember asking him, "Does your Quran have something like prophecy? Something that, you know, it was told years ago, and it came to be years after?" Something that was fulfilled. And he says, no, our Quran does not have something like that. And I go, well, how do you know that it's true? It's like, and I noticed he had a baseball cap. And I said, you know, when a baseball player is hired for a team, they checked his record, see if this guy, how many home runs he does, how many bases had he stolen, all these things to see if this guy is a good pick. No, how do you know? I know I can trust the word of God because there's prophecy there that has been fulfilled. It's there. It was written hundreds of years before, and now it's been fulfilled. You know, this is what Philip is doing. He's taking the Ethiopian through this. He's teaching him. You know, this is Jesus. The Isaiah the prophet was teaching about the Messiah Jesus, and this is what happened. Says in verse 36 to 40, now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized them. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. So the eunuch believed, and he immediately wanted to obey. I want to get baptized. There's so many people who keep thinking, you know, I'll get baptized once I get right with the Lord. And this is a lack of understanding that the Lord has made us right through the cross, through what his blood shed on the cross. And baptism is not a ticket for salvation. It is something, it's a symbolism that you're dying and you're rising up again now in Christ. This is a step of obedience and showing to the public, I have decided to follow Jesus. I'm dead to my own self, and I am rising in Him, new again, purchased, and by faith receiving this righteousness that I do not deserve. It's a faith that I receive, a righteousness that I receive by faith. And the eunuch believed and said, I want to go through with this. He didn't even wait. You know, some people just, they raise their hand to receive the Lord and they wait a long time. Instead of being in the Word, instead of seeking, you know, I love the story. I don't know if you ever heard of Raul Ruiz. Anybody here heard of Raul Ruiz, the pastor? He was determined on killing his wife and his children. And he was hearing on the day that he was planning to do that, he had his gun and he turned on the TV, and Pastor Chuck Smith was on the TV and was giving the gospel. And he pointed the gun at the Pastor Chuck at the TV, you know. And he was gonna just shoot through the TV to out of anger and he couldn't even pull the trigger even at that. And even as he was hearing Pastor Chuck preach the word, it was like he was speaking to him directly. And it just, he says, out of his own testimony, Raul Ruiz says, it was like he was shooting arrows of love through my heart. And he was just disarming me. He is like he was speaking directly, like the Lord was speaking directly to me through him. And I gave my life to the Lord, he says. And he went home and knocked on the house, and his wife, you know, was scared and unsure, and she opened the door barely with the chain, you know, link just a little bit open, and he says, and he told her, I give my life to the Lord. And she was kind of suspicious of it, and the next day he went and bought a Bible, and the biggest Bible he could find, and his wife was kind of scared of him because it was a drastic change, you know. And like Paul, you know, one day he's arresting, you know, Christians, and the next day he's telling them, you know, telling everybody that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So everybody was kind of afraid of him, you know. It was such a big change. And Raul Ruiz, you know, now he's a pastor, a lot of things, great things have been done through his ministry. But he says that when he gave his life to the Lord, he could not let go of the Bible. He read it every day. He was reading the Word of God. He was opening it up and he just was soaking everything that the Lord had for him through the Word. It was a hunger, and the Lord was meeting him, was just washing him and growing him. And so many times, people will make a commitment of faith, say, I believe, but it doesn't go any farther than that. They don't feed themselves. They don't add to their faith. And they kind of just fall to the wayside. One of my favorite scriptures is 2 Peter 1. And if you've been around me a while, you've probably heard me quote this a lot, because I believe a lot of believers end up in this place. If you want to go there with me, 2 Peter chapter 1. I didn't have this plan, but I think we just brought it to remembrance for a reason. 2 Peter chapter 1. says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, that which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And check this out, verse 5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, given to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. I love this because it teaches us to add to our faith these things. And if we do add these things, principles, add to our faith virtue, which is goodness, and knowledge, you know, a desire to know more of the Lord, self-control, perseverance, not giving up, continuing this race, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. You add to your faith these things, you won't be barren. You won't be like a tree that's dried up and just there, taking space, not giving any fruit. The Lord doesn't want us like that. He wants us given fruit. What does Psalm 1 say? Delight yourself in the law of the Lord. The man who does this, it's going to be like a tree planted by rivers of water, giving fruit in its season. That's how the Lord wants us, giving fruit, producing fruit, edifying others. If we are abiding in the Word of God, it'll be automatic. Just like John 15 says, you know, and Jesus says, abide in me, as I in you. I'm the vine, you are the branches. Talks about him, us abiding in him and producing the fruit as we abide in him. This is a beautiful thing. So what have we learned from each of these individuals? Now to close this up, Saul was a zealous religious man. Religion can't save you. Simon, he was attracted to the work of God, but did not seek to really glorify God. He was seeking, he had selfish intentions. He was not seeking to glorify Jesus. How about the Ethiopian eunuch? He was open to the Word of God. He was teachable. And he believed in the Lord with all his heart. And immediately obeyed. He was searching sincerely. What about Philip? Philip, well, even though he was not an apostle, remember, he was just one of the seven men that volunteered to be table waiters, a man of good reputation, of full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. He studied the Word of God in order to be ready, to be used of God, willing to go where the Lord led him. Philip, the evangelist. You don't need to be a pastor. You don't need to be, you know, someone great. Remember how the church, when they were scattered, that's how the gospel began to spread. Whether it's our neighbor, whether it's our co-workers, let them see the light of Jesus in you. And always study the Word of God so you can be ready to give an answer for your faith. Amen.